we'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We are Haley from Taking a Kinder Path, Ashley from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves, and myself, Erin, from Everlearning. We are gathering to have conversations about family life and home education, most specifically unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed education, or as I often refer to it, whole life learning. We'll be sharing experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us.
Hi, Haley. Hi, Ashley. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Hi, Erin.
Sue, it's so nice to have you today, early in the morning in Australia. So thank you.
Oh, Erin, I was so pleased when you invited me to come and be part of this conversation. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. I think it's probably kind of an honor for the rest of us, because, you know, Sue, I think we've been following you and enjoying your work. So for anybody who doesn't know, Sue's the author of Curious Unschoolers and Radical Unschool Love. And actually, Sue, you have a new edition out of Radical Unschool Love. So that's kind of exciting too. So we are talking about, I guess, two things that are different, but I think kind of connected. So we're talking about unconditional love and kindness. I guess as they relate to our role as parents and in our unschooling lives. So I'm kind of curious about how other people, I mean, Haley, you have a blog. So Taking a Kinder Path is, I mean, right in the title, there's a lot there about kindness. So that's kind of been a big, your focus. And then Sue, unconditional love has been such a big part of the writing that you've done on your blog and your podcast. And I should have mentioned that actually as well, Sue, your blog and podcast, both by the name Stories of an Unschooling Family. And for me, I mean, obviously we all want to have unconditional love for our children and we all want to be kind. I hadn't really thought of them in the context of unschooling until I read each of your work, and it just made it a little bit more concrete, well, a lot more concrete as far as how those pieces fit in. I'm just kind of curious how those things came up for other people. I think for me, probably my earliest introduction, although I maybe didn't know it at the time, was through the form of attachment parenting. So I think coming to realize that there was a different way of doing things that, you know, it was already feeling better for me and working better for my kids, but I didn't really know it had a name until I started digging around a little bit and realized there was this thing called attachment parenting, which I know has other names as well, as far as, you know, gentle parenting or connected parenting or whatever. And so for me, that idea of meeting my children's needs and really respecting who they were unconditionally at a young age, and realizing that there were lots of other people doing this, and it didn't mean that my children were going to be spoiled and terrible and all those things because I wasn't creating a more controlled environment. That was probably my first sort of introduction into this kind of idea. But Sue and Haley, it was really the two of you that kind of put those words more solidly in context for me as far as unschooling and parenting. So I don't know. I'm curious for other people how these terms came about in this context.
That's so lovely of you to say, Erin. My blog is called Taking a Kinder Path. And I feel like that kinder path bit was the kind of secret sauce, really. When I was learning about respectful parenting, and then, you know, we didn't know anything about home education until I heard about unschooling, which was really cool because that was the first thing I heard about. And then, and it was an American podcaster, the podcast isn't around anymore, but I remember my daughter heard it in the car, and then she looked up home education in the UK to see, and we looked at, you know, kind of what the policies and stuff were. But when we were going through the process of learning about all this stuff, it was really, it came together really when I realised that, it was all about kindness. That seemed to be how, yeah, when kindness came into the picture, then everything worked. And that was kind of, and it was really difficult because I feel like, although we all want to be kind, and kindness seems like a really natural thing, and I think it is a natural thing, I think we're driven to connect with other people and be kind, I don't think we're always encouraged to be kind, really, in the world. And I was thinking a lot about all those kind of sayings, like being cruel to be kind, and there's a lot of talk with children of nipping things in the bud, and I kind of feel like for a lot of young parents, although, yeah, you have this unconditional love for your baby and you feel that, yeah, that nurturing and you want to take care of it, there's all these voices from outside that are coming in and making you doubt that a little bit. And, you know, things like the whole, you know, sleep training and cry it out. There are so many examples that I could think of when I was sat down to think about it. And that just seemed really sad, because I think for me the answer to the question that you gave, Erin, which I think was what kind has got to do with unschooling, I feel like the answer is everything. seems like such an important element.
Yeah, how about you, Sue, as far as I guess the idea of unconditional love, when you began blogging and podcasting and telling your family's stories, was there a point that word sort of came together for you, or that you realized that it really just had so much to do with love and connection and the idea of unconditional love?
Yeah, I don't think there was any sort of one point where I said, unschooling is about unconditional love. It was sort of like a gradual understanding of what unschooling is all about and going deeper into it and changing as a person myself. And sometimes, you know, I would stop and say, no, unconditional love has got nothing to do with unschooling. You know, nobody's talking about unschooling and unconditional love. I've got the wrong idea, because you don't see a lot of people talking about that. So I thought, well, how come I think that this is what unschooling is about when nobody else is talking about it? But it does make sense to me. But what you were saying, Erin, about attachment parenting, that's how I parented my little kids. Years and years ago, William Sears, and we had the paper books. We didn't have the internet, but we all bought the book. Well, I say all. A lot of people in our circle who didn't. And in a lot of ways, we were alone in that sort of style of parenting. But William Sears now, I think he's the grandfather, and there's a whole generation of Sears, but we were the original generation of William Sears attachment parenting. But then when we got to school age, and then what Hayley was saying about all those voices, and then children aren't quite as, they want to be independent, and you don't stop carrying your babies around, and then you get into control issues. Will my children behave when we go out? Will my children tidy up after themselves? And I fell into like traditional ways of parenting, even though we'd started as attachment parenting, because I thought, oh, that's all right for babies. But now everyone's telling me I've got to do this and that, otherwise my children won't be disciplined. They'll be wild and out of control. And so that's the pathway we went down for a while, until one day I just sort of listened to myself. We were battling, and I was saying things to my kids like, I was criticizing and always on their backs about things. And I thought, I'm not a very nice person, because I listened to myself. Hayley, we had no kind. I was becoming an unkind person. And I thought, well, it's not the sort of person I want to be. And when I started trying to change my own behavior, then that's when we moved from unschooling as just a form of education, letting kids have freedom, and where we started to explore unschooling as radical, or if, you know, people don't like that word, but in terms of unconditional love, I think that's where our journey started there. And I started understanding a bit more about what my kids needed and how I had to love them unconditionally. They were going to become the people that they should be. And if we were going to, I don't know, if we're going to avoid all those problems of the past, if, you know, we've all had been, I guess, I don't know, but are we all familiar with parenting mistakes? Probably nobody has had a perfect parenting experience, a childhood experience. And for myself, there were so many things I wanted to avoid, and I could feel myself falling into the patterns of my own parents, and that wasn't acceptable. And that's when I stopped and said, I can't be that person. How can I be more loving, kind, give my kids what they need? And that's when we started exploring unschooling as far as unconditional love. But it was so gradual that I didn't sort of, you look back and think, wow, we've changed. We've been doing things so totally differently. It wasn't as if we adopted a philosophy or read something and said, oh, look, I like the sound of this, I'm going to try that. It didn't happen that way. It just one step at a time, trying to be better people and give our kids what we needed. And suddenly we found ourselves down the track and, oh, I'm a good one for sitting there and pondering and thinking, how did we get here and what is important? And then I started writing about it and exploring ideas. And yes, it's, I think, a different approach to unschooling than a lot of people think. People think unschooling, and a lot of people think, irresponsible, or how will kids learn to do this or that, or it's all right for education, but what about parenting? But nobody says unconditional love. That's not the first word that goes into people's heads, but it's become the first word that I think of.
Yeah. How about you, Ashley? Can you think of kind of how it kind of resonates for you, either of those words or maybe both together?
Yeah, absolutely. I've thought a lot about it, and it's very similar to what I think each of you have shared so far. It was funny because actually maybe about a year ago, so we're only, I don't know, what are we, 2 or 3 years into this with our guys, and maybe about a year ago, I remember somehow making that like obvious connection, how I like what you were saying, Erin, attachment parenting, peaceful parenting, gentle parenting, there's all these terms for it, but we kind of fell into attachment parenting when our oldest was born and we were down that path. And so that was very normal and natural for us and just felt right in listening to our gut, having to block out all those things that Haley, you had mentioned, and just listening to your gut as best as you could. But about a year ago, I was like, wait a second. Nobody told me that there was this, like, that this was going to happen, that we were probably going to end up unschooling, because I just had this moment of like connection. Like, it makes so much sense that, you know, when you are someone who values parenting with respect, it makes sense that respect for your children, you want that to continue in all areas of their lives. So I just had this moment of, oh, like, of course we're doing this, even though I didn't even know what unschooling was. I mean, until we were honestly unschooling before I had heard the term. So it was interesting. I remember messaging a couple like online friends who are in the unschooling community saying, you didn't give me a heads up. You know? Like, I didn't realize that this was likely going to happen. And obviously there's lots of families out there who gentle parent who are not unschooling. So I'm not saying that that's always the way it works. But to me, when I look back now at our journey and our story and the process we've been through from when our guys were really little, it just makes sense that once they got to the age where school came into play, that we still wanted to put relationship first. We didn't want that to change. And it was really my oldest, who was grade one, who I mean, I've shared a little bit with you guys about how that started for us, where he kind of led us down the path of unschooling, but he led us down. He was the one who we started attachment parenting with. And yeah, that just treating, I love the words unconditional and kindness. I always find like respect is one that just always pops out to me when I think about those things, just treating our children the way we want to be treated, treating them the way we treat other family members or close friends. And then when they go out into the world, having the expectation from others that they're respected by them, which gets, you know, that can get tricky. So yeah, I think about that a lot, how to me, they're very much intertwined. They're very much together. And it makes a lot of sense that when, you know, you want to put relationship first when it comes to your children. I think a lot of us have been wanting and trying to do that from day one when they were really little. And now that they're older and school age, it makes sense that we want to continue to do that, which looks different for lots of people. But yeah, and I do want to say too quickly, because I appreciate so much your work, the three of you, and there's others too out there who, if it wasn't for people like you who share your journey and the process and the experience, it was, for me, it was reading all of that, the blogs, listening to the podcast, that was just it still is such a big part of the process for me. And I can't imagine, I mean, I still probably have on the bookshelf, William Sears, I had some books. But yeah, the communities now online and stuff, and getting to connect with people who that's important to them, that unconditional love and respectful parenting and unschooling. I feel like very grateful, because I feel like I've been able to maybe even fast track a little bit. So I appreciate all the work you guys have all done.
Well, and that kind of makes me think, you know, Sue, I've heard a lot of people say that kind of your voice and your way of describing unschooling in such a loving way kind of helped them see it in a different way. It seemed like something they could imagine as far as the relationship they either already had with their children or they wanted to have with their children. I mean, I think there's a lot of benefit to all the scientific information we get about learning. And I mean, that's all really great. But when people are trying to figure out how to do that in their family, it really starts to come down to things like trust and collaboration, and kind of that curiosity as a family. And I think that I've just heard a lot of people mention that it's been really helpful for them to hear it framed in kind of these terms that we can relate to as parents, as far as unconditional love. And in fact, I can remember, Sue, you did an interview with Pam Larikia on the Living Joyfully podcast. And I remember seeing something, I don't know whether it was in the comments of the episode or whether it was maybe on Instagram, and Pam was announcing your episode and somebody said, oh my goodness, great. The two most gentle voices in unschooling or something coming together. And I think it's so true. Like I think people can really relate when they hear it in that very loving, family-centered sort of way. It doesn't seem like either unattainable or bizarre. It just seems like it actually makes sense. Like if you want to have these connected relationships and live life together, it actually is something that makes sense. It kind of, I would say, it normalizes it the way that you've spoken about it. Yeah. And it kind of brings me to the second discussion point we were talking about. And I'm actually just going to read it directly because I think it's maybe a little bit clearer that way. So what I had said was, could talking about unschooling from the perspective of kindness and unconditional love make it seem clearer, gentler, more sensible than it sometimes does now? Would it improve its reputation or be more inviting to people? Rather than talking about what it doesn't have and what parents aren't doing, the focus is what they are doing and offering their children. So I think instead of having a deficit focus of, you know, kids aren't going to school. They don't have rules. They don't, you know, they don't have guidelines or whatever. The way that I think we're talking about it here is, what are we bringing into our children? The love, the connection. It's what's present, not what's absent. So I wonder if speaking about it in a more, when we're thinking about it more in terms of kindness and unconditional love, is that helpful maybe to people as far as how they frame it in their minds? Sue, I have something. So it's a, it's an excerpt out of your, the newest edition of your Radical Unschool Love. And if I could read it, I feel like it kind of sets into play some of my thoughts around it at least. So this is just a piece of the section on unconditional love. So it says, if we love unconditionally, we'll accept our kids for who they are, unique people with their own talents and interests, quirks and failings. If we believe our children's talents and interests are an integral part of them, we will encourage them to use them. We will value what our children are interested in. We'll let them learn about the things that are important to them. We'll respect their choices. If we love unconditionally, we won't impose our ideas on our children. They don't have to be who we think they should be. They can be themselves. We won't express disappointment with who our kids are. They'll know that we value them just the way they are. We'll also trust that they'll find their places in the world. We'll let our unconditionally loved children develop and grow and learn in their own time. They don't have to fit into our timetable. We won't compare them to other children. Our kids can express their thoughts and ideas and opinions. We will listen and take them seriously. They don't have to be just like us. And this is the part I really like, Sue. It just really speaks to me. We won't let other people's opinions about our children affect how we treat them and feel about them. We'll stand up for them and protect them. They don't have to fulfill other people's expectations. I really like that last part because I think that most parents really do love their children unconditionally and want to accept their children unconditionally. And I think, oh goodness, particularly with some of the standards that we have in our society, whether that's school or whether that's just our societal ideas of what's acceptable and what's not and what's valued and what's not. I think it's really hard when we've been brought up, many people, you know, over the past few generations, kind of inside that box of what we value and what we don't. I think it takes a lot of work to get to that last part about just really accepting our children unconditionally, regardless of those outside voices. So that piece spoke to me. I don't know about anybody else, but that's kind of, that's been where the work has been for me. I think that's why I'm saying that. So, yeah.
I sometimes wonder, like when we talk about unconditional love and link it to unschooling, then people might think, oh, well, you think you love your kids unconditionally, but we're not unschoolers. Are you saying we don't love our kids unconditionally? And that's a really hard point because they're not, a lot of parents aren't respecting and accepting their kids, but they would say, oh, but I love my children unconditionally. And I was talking about this in a podcast with my daughter, Sophie, a few years ago. She was a teenager. And she said, parents can say they love their kids unconditionally, but unless the child feels loved unconditionally, then there's a problem, which I thought was very insightful, that we have to feel accepted and loved and valued and respected. Doesn't matter if the other person says I'm doing all that, but the child has to feel that way. And that sometimes with all these pressures that people have, and I've done it. I mean, I've written about it many times, all the mistakes I made, all the times that I listened to somebody else and didn't listen to my kids. And now I have the value of hindsight. I can look back and I can think, oh, wow, that was a terrible thing to do. And because my kids are older, I'm older, I have more courage. And even now, people still have expectations about my kids and what their careers are and how they're dressing and where they're living and their life goals and all that, but it doesn't bother me in the slightest now. I can just say, hey, you know, as long as that's what they want to do, that's fine. And I can stand up for them. But I never stood up for my kids enough as they were growing up. And I think how sad it is that we put other people's opinions ahead of our kids. We want to be accepted. We want to look good in their eyes, whatever. We want to be part of the circle. And we're willing to put those people ahead of our children. And those people will not be with us forever. And I look back and think about when my kids were smaller and the things I did and those friends I had, I don't know where they are anymore. They've gone. They probably don't even remember me, except they probably think, you know, vaguely, do you remember that woman who was always running around cleaning up her house and didn't spend time with her kids, so the one with the really clean floor? And I think, do I want to be remembered as the mother with a really clean floor or the mother who loved her kids? And so being older, I can see where I went wrong. But I also think, I don't know if you're finding this, Erin and Haley, that it doesn't matter where you stop and change. Even if your kids are older, it's still worthwhile. That even if you've had a bad relationship with your kids and been battling with them, and they're now teenagers or young adults, you can still start changing yourself and the way you react to your kids and get back onto a level where you are showing them unconditional love and relating to them as they deserve. And there's a whole future ahead. So all those mistakes we made, we learn from them, but it's not too late. Do you find that, Haley, with your children? I don't know. I'm not saying you ever made mistakes like me, but if you're talking to other people who, like people sometimes say to me, is it too late to unschool? My children are teenagers. Some of my children are young adults. And I think, no, it's not too late at all, because unschooling really is the way you live your life, not just the way you're going to bring up your kids until they're 18.
Yeah.
It affects your whole life.
Well, first of all, Sue, I'm still making mistakes. So, I mean, you know, we're all still learning, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Even I am. I'm not saying even I am. I mean, despite what I said about looking back and have learning from it, despite saying that, yes, I still make mistakes because there's always something more to learn.
Yeah, definitely.
I know I've come a long way, and I think sometimes we have to recognize that we have come a long way and not belittle where we are, because we don't want to discourage ourselves. We can look back and say, yes, we have come a long way, but yes, we still make mistakes because we're human. And unfortunately, kids keep changing. You know, the circumstances keep changing, and you think, wow, I've got a new challenge here to face. And we don't always have the answers for every single situation, for every single child in our lives, do we? And we're going to make mistakes. But what I think I want to say is that unschooling has been such a gift. And I'm so glad we found our way here and got the courage to leave the pathway, the traditional pathway, because I can see we have come so far. It's like I'm thankful, not saying, hey, I've done a great job. What I'm saying is I'm thankful that we found unschooling and had the support and encouragement and kept going. And I look back and think our lives would be so totally different if we had listened to other people, if we hadn't even heard of unschooling. That I don't see how that could have happened, but because we heard about it when my first child was 5. It's something to be grateful for, I think, and that's what I want to pass on to other people. It's probably why you write to Haley, that you feel so grateful for what we have and what we've discovered, that we want other people, especially when you see people having problems with their kids, and you want to pass on, not to say, look, do things like I've done them, but just pass on what we've some of what we've learned.
Yeah, and I think your work is beautiful, Sue, and it has definitely been a support for me. And the same with your blog, Erin, as well. It's just, like you said, actually, having those voices is so important, isn't it? And like you said, Sue, we're always learning, aren't we? And we've always got more to learn. And when you describe it, it just sounds so idyllic. And we all know that it obviously isn't idyllic. It's life. And just because we're unschooling doesn't make everything suddenly perfect. Everybody's still living their life and having issues. And we're having to, and we're having, like you say, people are changing and we're having to learn and adapt. But that whole thing about, how beautiful it is when we talk about unconditional love and kindness makes me think sometimes, well, why isn't everybody unschooling? And then I remember, the doubts that I have and the issues that I have to work through and that whole thing about fear. Fear is such a pervasive influence, I think, isn't it, in our society? And that whole thing of having these beautiful bundles of loveliness and feeling that deep responsibility that somehow, this is all on you. And obviously, we know that it isn't all on us and that our children obviously are poor. I mean, that's a big element of unschooling. We learn to trust and we learn to respect our children as individuals in their own right. They're not just a part of us or a reflection of us. But I think that whole thing about them, about the fear, I think so many of us do carry around so much fear and so much hurt and so many models from when we were younger that it's really hard to, even though all this sounds wonderful, it's really hard to make that leap. And even when you make that leap, there's still so much more work to be done, isn't there? And I think I was thinking about what you said, Erin, about framing it in terms of unconditional love and kindness. Would that somehow make it more appealing? And I kind of feel like sometimes it works the other way, that people are concerned that too much kindness isn't going to be good for our kids, we're going to ruin them. And it's kind of got associations with the whole idea of permissive parenting and abandoning our children kind of to their own devices. And I think that's so much not what any of our experience of unschooling is at all. But in terms of a public perception, I think sometimes it's not, I wish it wasn't the case, but I feel like sometimes it's seen as, it's a flaw in the marketing of unschooling. Not that anybody's marketing it, but do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely do, Haley. And I mean, I think I've talked about this before somewhere. I can't remember if I've written about it or exactly where, but an example that always comes to my mind is how surprised a lot of customers on my kids' paper routes were when I would be out with them. And just some of the comments we would get, whose paper route is this anyway? People would say, or they'd say, oh, you're so lucky to have your mom out here helping you. And it wasn't that I was out there all the time. But for me, as my kids got older, it was also a really nice way to connect, to just go out and do something together and get some exercise or whatever. And then other times I was really genuinely wanting to help. We had, especially when we had papers the same night that my kids were snowboarding all day. And so we would come home and, there would be big snowbanks and it would be dark. And it would just be a given that I would help them do that. And it was also a given that they would help me do things. Like, it was just kind of, there wasn't this sense of like measuring or nickel and diming anything. It was just kind of a culture of helping each other. And people do seem to have a bit of a fear around that kids aren't going to understand their own responsibility or, be able to do things without help, or you know, expect that somebody's always going to be there to help them. And I just haven't found that to be true. I found on the one hand that my kids are quite willing to do things on their own when they need to, but that isn't really the goal that I'm going for anyway. Like my vision is not to have everybody each living as an island. Like I like the idea of helping one another and just everybody kind of helping get things done and helping meet needs. But I think you're right. I think there's a concern about being too nice. I get maybe that idea of spoiling, you know, that kind of the word that you hear thrown around quite a bit. And you're right about the permissive parenting. I feel like there's something I want to say about the permissive parenting, but I can't form it right now. But it's almost like within the context of unschooling, permissive parenting doesn't even fit because you're not giving into something. Because you're not coming from that place to begin with. You're all talking about what you want to do and how to get your needs met. So you don't really need to give in. I think when we think about the idea of permissive or giving in, it's the idea that somebody always has to hold the power. So ideally the idea is parents will hold the power. And if we compromise too much or we get too far into things like attachment parenting or unschooling, well, then the kids have taken the power. But it's not really like that. There doesn't need to be somebody with the power and somebody without the power. The dynamic is entirely different. So I think it's really hard when you haven't experienced it is the problem. It's hard to explain it to people. People want to understand it, but you kind of have to practice it to understand it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's something to do with a kind of scarcity model that we have, some kind of that whole idea that that there's only so much power, and so if the children have got it, then there won't be any for the parents, or if the parents have got it, then there won't be any for the children. Whereas in actual fact, like you say, we're living in a completely different way where we're thinking about everybody having power and it being power with rather than power over. But I wonder if there is some kind of, I mean, I guess evolutionary, on an evolutionary kind of scale, we are driven to connect with people, but we're also driven to survive, I guess. And maybe those tensions in us and the society that we live in somehow have us in this kind of weird scarcity fear thing that is, that gives us some kind of, that we can't see almost this how it would work, how unschooling would work. It does require quite a leap. And as you say, it's something that you only, that you have to live it really to be able to, to be able to fully understand it. And it doesn't, and as Sue was saying earlier, it's not something that you know, this is day one of unschooling. Here we are. It's, you know, when I talked about it being a secret sauce and this magic moment, I mean, my daughter was 10 when we heard about unschooling, and I've gone looking, you know, I started looking for parenting books in the library when she was, you know, 2, really. So it was a long, it was a long process. Those 8 years was a long, there was a long build up really to the whole. And I think you said, Ashley, that you were unschooling before you realised that you know, before you could put a name to it. And I think that's incredibly common, isn't it? Yeah, because you're gradually growing to this way where your relationship becomes the priority and you don't have a name for it, or you don't fully recognise it until you look back with hindsight, which I think is what you were saying earlier, Sue. But yeah, I wonder if that's it, the kind of scarcity thing. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think I was just going to say too that, like, going back to that idea that we know all parents love their children in an unconditional way, And I think the main message from what I see anyway, that parents still get is that power over and that top down. And we have a responsibility as the parent to teach the children right from wrong, all these important things, so that those choices are made out of love. You know, those parents are doing what they believe is best for their children. And I think talking about going off that path and that there is another way is really helpful, because I think there's a lot of parents that, like me, like there are those moments of struggle where you were kind of getting all those messages on how you know, what your responsibilities were and what your role was as a parent. But inside, when I was trying to do those things, often there was that feeling of, this does not feel right to me. And everybody responds to that differently. So having people such as yourself, and like I've mentioned, I always seem to mention Dr. Peter Gray because I read his book at that time. I think that's where unschooling kind of came up. Having that other message, or just an alternative messaging on, it doesn't have to only be that way. That's not the, you know, like, there are other ways to parent. There's other ways to be in relationship with your children. I needed that. I think probably all of us need that, because we do all love our children. We do all want what's best for them. And it does feel like a huge responsibility. We're all going to make mistakes, but you know, you don't want to mess up the whole thing. So hearing and continuing, like, it's what you guys have said. Like, it's not like you're like, oh, I figured it out. I get it now. I know how to do this and everything's just fine. It's such a process. So it's having these conversations. It's like, I'm still listening to the podcast. I'm still looking for the next book to read, because it's not in your face, right? Like the mainstream parenting and the traditional school, that's there everywhere you look. And if that's not feeling right, then it becomes a bit of a struggle and a challenge. And so for me, spending the time to question those things and think about, like, how I was raised and why that was, and, you know, the results of that, and, you know, the type of parent I want to be, and the relationship with my children and as a family, it's not about us having the power. It's about relationship and connection, and how do we want to live together, which unschooling allows for that, I guess. So it just makes sense. But when I first heard the term unschooling, even though I don't remember exactly where it was, I do remember, like, it comes to, like, radical unschooling, they have no bedtimes. I remember that one really stuck out to me, and my guys would have been like really little still. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, no bedtime, like, bedtime's such a thing at our house. So yeah, I think those conversations are good, because, not having bedtimes is part of it for some families, and not for others. Like, that's just such a small little thing. Like, that's not what unschooling is. It's not about having no rules. It's really about, yeah, that shared power, or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, I'm rambling. I've lost my train of thought now, but,
Ashley,
no, go ahead, Haley, please.
I was just going to say, what you were saying was great. And I think, it is that bit about respect and trust. Are just so key, aren't they, and I think in order to be kind, you have to have a lot of trust. And being kind, I don't know, I'm thinking now about evolution again, the idea that being kind is kind of quite vulnerable, really, isn't it? You're opening yourself up to rejection and ridicule and possible abuse, and, you know, you're putting yourself out there. And I think, and so it is quite a vulnerable feeling. And I think that the whole bit about the ongoing work, so many of us, I think there's a John Holt quote, isn't there, about trusting children, but so many of us have grown up with the idea that we can't be trusted. And it's really hard, isn't it? Because I think children do learn what they live, and obviously they're not carbon copies of us, but the more kindness and respect that they experience, then the more, I guess, the more potential there is for them to be kind and respectful to other people. And if we as parents haven't had that kindness and that respect in our childhood, then then there's a lot of work to be done in order for us to be able to be kind and respectful to our children, isn't it? It's an ongoing work. And I think, we all know the term de-schooling and how that is not a one-time thing, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, so Haley, what you're saying right now is tying in for me with what Sue said a few minutes ago around, all parents love their children, or most parents certainly love their children, whether, they're homeschooling in whatever way, or whether their children are in school. And so it does seem a little bit, I'm not sure what the word is, maybe daring, maybe bold, to attach unconditional love so much to unschooling in particular, when all parents are loving their children and certainly aiming to be kind and love unconditionally. So I was thinking, so what's the difference then? Like, why is it that when I read Sue's work and I think about these, the term unconditional love, why does that resonate so much for me in the context of unschooling? And just right there, what you said about de-schooling. So I think if I think about how I spend my time and my energy, and I think this is true of a lot of people with unschooling, so much of it is that inner work. Like it's, and so I think, well, what is that inner work? And so much of it is de-schooling, because school is very conditional, right? So a child's acceptance in school is conditional on a lot of things. It's conditional on marks. It's conditional on punctuality. It's conditional on conformity. There are all these different things that are conditional as far as somebody's acceptance in school. So for me, a lot of the work, and maybe what differentiates it within unschooling, is there just is a lot of energy spent in a deeper level of de-schooling than I think I might have realized, certainly originally, and that maybe lots of people realize, but it really is a lot of digging, a lot of being vulnerable, a lot of sort of being humble. So it is different, and I think it is really hard to define. So I really get Sue's point there. I do think it's hard to define, but that's part of it for me, is that unconditional love is, it's very related to trust, I think, and it's very related to respect. And so much of unschooling for me is working continuously around those two things, for sure, the trust and the respect. And it's not, there's no prescription for it. You're just always kind of working at those connections within your own family. And so I think if I was a school parent, all the energy that I would maybe be putting into being involved in the school or interviews or, kind of helping my child with school. And certainly with more traditional homeschooling, there's lots of planning involved and kind of executing the plan and researching and all those sorts of things. And I think with unschooling, it is this constant learning that we're doing about, we're learning about natural learning, and we're learning about relationships, and we're also learning how to love and accept ourselves, I think. At least that's been a big process for me. So some of it for me might be the amount of energy that's tied up. And tied up sounds negative. I don't mean it to sound negative, but that might be how I would differentiate it, is that I just think that the energy and the deep dives are different when we're talking about kindness and unconditional love with unschooling, because I think it's so intentional. Like we're using it almost as a principle, if that makes sense. I don't know if that resonates for anybody else. I'm kind of just figuring it out as I go, but I think those pieces are related for me.
I think you just made me think, Erin, about the kind of healing power of kindness as well, and the whole the more that because I do think it, like I said before, I do think it is a natural thing that we want to be kind to each other. And I think we are driven to that kind of connection. But for some reason, there are things holding us back. But it's almost like getting on a bike again after you haven't been on one for ages. And it kind of builds momentum. And the more that you're kind to other people, then the more you can be kind to yourself. I heard something recently. Somebody said about, I can't remember exactly how they said it, but the voice that you use when you're speaking to other people is often the voice that you use when you're talking to yourself. And that really made me think about that whole, how we're projecting what's going on inside ourselves out to other people all the time, aren't we? And obviously our children are very close to us and they often get the brunt of our frustration and, you know, irritation or whatever, because we're very close together. And one of the beautiful things for me about unschooling, I think, has been that healing element that it's given me, as you say, Erin, so much time and so much work spent on thinking about my relationship with my children has also made me think about my relationship with myself. And that's been quite a healing process, I think.
We've stopped on that profound statement, Hayley. But I do think that unschooling is about both parents and children, isn't it? Where homeschooling is about children, whereas unschooling is more about the way we live our lives together and how we're all changing and we're all becoming better people. We're all fulfilling our using our talents, fulfilling our dreams, our goals, but it's a whole family affair, not just for the children. And we work together as a family team and we're all in there together. But yes, Hayley, what you were saying about sometimes we have to heal from our own past and we learn, it's not just we're going to learn how to write or we're going to learn how to fulfill this dream. We're going to change as people as we're unschooling. And heal all those hurts that we picked up along the way from our childhood and become the sort of people who can love unconditionally and be kind to people. And yeah, we learn a lot about ourselves while I have learned a lot about myself while I've been unschooling. It's certainly when I write articles, it's not a method of homeschooling as far as I'm concerned. It's for all of us. And that's why also I think that sometimes I write, I think unschooling, or especially radical unschooling, is the right way to live. And you were saying, Hayley, it's hard to be kind sometimes, but being kind is the right thing to do. Sometimes it's hard to make sacrifices and put someone ahead of ourselves, but often that's the right thing to do. Sometimes it's hard to show unconditional love, but it's the right thing to do. And this is what I think it's all about, is people say that unschooling is about having the freedom to do whatever we like. And I don't think it is. I think it's having the freedom to choose to do what is right instead of being forced to do what is right. It's I want to do what is right because I love, or because it's the right thing to do for whatever reason. And so when we talk about, you know, we're unschoolers and we found the perfect lifestyle and you've all got it a bit wrong over there. It's the word unschooling, I think. If we stop talking about unschooling and just got down to the basic, what is the basic, the foundation of the right way to live? Let's not talk about homeschooling or unschooling or what we've chosen to do, but try and live the way we think is the right way to live. I think we get to unschooling. We get to what we call unschooling. But then I sort of been thinking along the lines of, can you live the right way and unschool but still send your kids to school? If you see what I mean, is it something which is separate from the education? Can you love your kids in the same way that we would say we are as unschoolers, but for whatever reason, your kids go to school? And I've come to the conclusion that it would be very sad if we can't do that, especially for the friends I have who legally aren't allowed to homeschool. And you think, well, you'll never have that nice relationship with your kids. And that's not true, is it? That you can partner on, even if you go to school or make different decisions to what we're doing, you can still have that connection with your kids, still respect them, still stand up for them in school situations, still be friends, still love them unconditionally and harder, I think, because you're going to come up against more people who've got more expectations of your child. But is it something really that everybody can do, regardless of how we think of homeschooling?
Yeah, I think that's such a valuable point to make, Sue, for a lot of different reasons. It's not really about unschooling. That's just, yeah, what we call it. And a lot of people are in a situation where they can't unschool. Or I'm even thinking about like homeschool families who have, like where we are, we're kind of just free to do what we want to do. But there's other places where you're allowed to home educate, but there's reporting and whatnot that they need to do. And I agree with you 100%. And the other thing I was thinking about too is the families who have, you hear about this, right? Like they have a child who has unschooled maybe their whole way through or for a number of years, and then they want to go to school. Well, what does that look like? And I think exactly what you said, it's 100% possible. I don't know exactly what that would look like. Maybe I'm sure it comes with different challenges, like lots of things. But it's not about school. It's not even just about learning. It is. It's about how you live and how you partner with your kids and how you choose to have a relationship with them. So regardless of whether, like, whatever their education looks like, I agree 100%. It's still totally possible to kind of live that unschooling lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah, because we can all love people and we can all forgive mistakes and we can all turn around and try and be better people and all that, and we can all, that doesn't depend on how we've decided to homeschool our children, does it? Though I think we do have it a lot easier because we can limit the amount of exposure to outside expectations. I think that the more people involved in our kids' lives, like school teachers, my husband's a school teacher, so I'm never down on school teachers, but school teachers have expectations. And but I also think, knowing my husband, and the amount of expectations on a child at school is less than people think. You know, in ours here, kids don't have to do homework. And it's not a requirement. It's a requirement for the teacher to set the homework. It's not a requirement for the kids to do it. But of course, none of the parents look at it like that. They all get on their kids' back. You've got to do your homework. But just imagine if you brought the homework and you looked at it and thought, well, that's not relevant. I'll go and do something else with my child. Let's spend the time doing something I feel is more important. And in that way, you would be looking at the needs of your child, but you would still be in the school system as such. Yeah, I don't really know, because it's something that I've thought about but not thought deeply enough, because I'm not in that situation. It's just, I don't know if Aaron and Haley, if you ever get asked that, can people say, well, I'd love to unschool, but I can't. I've got to work. It's legally not possible, whatever. And you're so lucky. And my heart just goes out to them. I think, yes, I'm fortunate, but surely there's something that we could pass on. So encourage people to do that. It's not all just about us having our kids home all the time. Surely it's more than that. And we can see that with our adult children. They're not home with us, but we can still unschool, relate to them in an unschooling way, and encourage and support and listen to their opinions and all that. So it's not confined to those years. So I'm just sort of thinking about that. Maybe there's more than one situation where we could be talking about unconditional love, but not necessarily unschooling.
No, I agree, Sue. And it's funny what you were saying about homework, because when we heard about unschooling and we heard about home ed, and my daughter was doing lots of research, and I was doing lots of research, and we were doing lots of soul searching about, is this a good thing to do, and asking lots of questions of our pondering so many things. And one of the things that we did let go of in that last year of school was homework. And it was because at the same time I read a book by Alfie Cohn about the homework myth, and that kind of made me think about, and I was working in education myself at the time, and it kind of made me question all those things. And so homework was something that I remember saying to my kids, well, you know, you don't have to do it. And we talked about ways around that, ways of me doing it with them, or me saying, you know, letting the teacher know that they were reading a different book, or that they'd, they'd done an alternative, or just not saying anything. And funnily enough, Sue, I remember there were certain teachers who, yeah, they didn't seem to have any investment in the homework at all once they'd given it out. Yeah, that was that. Yeah, once they'd done that bit, then that was done, and they weren't. And I remember that the injustice of it. I remember one of my daughters being really, you know, when she was conscientiously doing her homework, and then the teachers weren't bothered about it. Obviously, that was really upsetting. But I agree. I think it is all about relationships. That is so key, really. And you're right, Sue, that whole thing now, having adult children and seeing how that works, but also being, I mean, I don't have any parents that are alive, but obviously I know plenty of other people who do have parents, and I see the differences in relationships between lots of other adults and their parents. And it's such a shame that fear and those expectations of other people, and that pressure still seems to be a big part of lots of people's adult relationships with their parents. And it's such a shame, isn't it? It's so sad when you know that it could be that way.
Yeah, so much just came up for me between what all three of you were saying, and the first thing being that so one of my kids did choose to go to school for his last couple of years of high school. And yeah, I do think that the way that we thought of things, and just kind of the general, I guess, energy of the way we went about it was quite different, because yeah, I wasn't, and I know to some people this would maybe sound like not a good thing, but I wasn't invested in certain outcomes. You know, it was a choice that he made to go. And I do think it's possible to continue to hold those same values. Sue, as you mentioned, it can't all be attached just to whether our kids are home with us or whether they're in school. For me, I don't think we had quite the flexibility that you're describing, Haley, or that Sue, that you're describing from Andy's school. I did find it a real pull between, I don't know, even just to come out for a day to go snowboarding or something like that. It was kind of tricky at times. So for me, it was difficult. It was a bit of a dance, but I think the overall thing was that, yes, I could still carry with me those, that same way of being, you know, really kind of honoring and respecting and holding that unconditional love. Those values remain regardless of where your child is during the day. And, you know, to both of your points, Haley and Sue, around adult relationships, as my kids have become young adults, some of them, I think I use these principles probably more than I did when they were little. I mean, as they've gotten older, that's when they really begin to differentiate as far as their own value systems and their passions. And, you know, those are quite often not the same as mine, like, or I'm learning something new, or I'm having to just really stay open to different ways of thinking. So, you know, I think especially when we talk about unconditional love, as it relates to unconditional acceptance, acceptance is really what I've had to work hard at as my kids got older. Not thinking that there's only one way or maybe two ways, but that there's just so many different ways to go forward. And so, yes, yeah, so when people ask you, is it too late? You know, if their kids are in high school or even adults, I agree with you. It isn't. There's so many things that we can learn and continue to kind of deepen and put into practice as our kids get older.
And this ends our conversation today. We hope you found it interesting and maybe helpful. If you'd like to connect further or see additional content, Haley can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. I, Erin, can be found at Everlearning, and Ashley can be found on Instagram at Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves. We'd be very grateful if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.